just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Monday. We're starting out another week. I got to be honest. I got this show recording started late. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, my time. I'm usually starting anywhere from 9 to 11. So this is late. And here's why it's late. Well, first of all, I spent most of the day with my granddaughter's party, Junie. Junie had her birthday party on this side of the family. We had it here at our place in a party room, pool next door to it, and it was a lot of fun. She had a great time. She was pretty excited. She couldn't believe all those people were there for her, all the presents she got. She had cupcakes, she had candy, she had all kinds of things. It was a great day. And, you know, I think that is the job of parents and especially grandparents. Give these kids something that they can look back fondly in terms of Christmas and birthdays or those sorts of things. I think a lot of us live on past memories. Those are the happy moments or the special moments in our life that keep us going. And that's my goal, certainly with my granddaughter, and I know my wife feels the same way, but we had a great time. But that ended probably about 5 o'clock, so I still had plenty of time to record the show. However, we got done cleaning up about closer to 7, and then we decided to go to some place to watch the Timberwolves play. Now, you have to understand, I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I am that motherfucker that will jump on a bandwagon when things are looking good. I did it in 87. I did it in 91. Not an intense fan of the Twins at that point. They won the World Series both years, and boy, I was on board. I'm even less of a basketball fan, but now that the Timberwolves are playing as well as they are after 30 years and since their inception, it's kind of nice to see it happen. And I'm hoping that things continue on for the Timberwolves. Not so much for me or the Timberwolves, but it was an exciting time when the Twins actually won a World Series, and I hope my kids get to experience that again in this situation. Well, nonetheless, I went and watched Game 4 of the Timberwolves series with Phoenix, and they won again. It was a close game. It was a tough game, but they won again. They swept Phoenix, so everybody's really excited. I'm kind of excited about it, too, even though I don't know much about basketball. So, anyway, I was out till midnight doing that. My wife and I drove home, and she goes, "We should go to bed." I go, "I got to record a show." She goes, "Well, how about not tonight?" I said, "I do it every fucking night. I got to do it, whether it's 1 o'clock in the morning or 8:30 in the morning. I got to do it." Not even so much for you folks, although I appreciate the fact that you're waiting for the next show to drop so that you can listen to it. I can't tell you how grateful I am for that. But I made a commitment to myself. I made a commitment to all you folks. I got to do it. If I get home late, my problem, not your problem. And so here we are. I will say this. This show was put together a little more haphazardly than most shows, so I can't guarantee you how this is going to go. I doubt it's going to rank among the top 10 of shows I've ever done, but we'll give it a shot and see what happens. I'll do my best. That's all I can do at this point. All right, we've got some emails, thankfully. That helps out a lot. First one comes from Don. He says, "Hey, Mike, great shows as always. I was listening to your show Sunday morning, and someone was suggesting that young people were not as concerned about abortion. In my opinion, abortion is just the start for the Republicans. It's them trying to control everything we do, from how we raise our kids and what they are allowed to read and who is and isn't allowed to read them. Hope the party went great and look forward to future shows. All the best, Don." As I say, the party went outstanding. Judy had a wonderful time. She was so excited. She did pretty well in the party. Got to hang out with cousins and stuff and other kids and all the adults. And she always puts on quite a show when there are people around. So it went very well. And you're right about that with the Republicans. The abortion thing is just the beginning. They want to do so many other things to control the people of this country so they behave the way they see fit. And it's ironic that the Republicans are doing these things. They're the ones always talking about smaller government and freedom for the people. But everything they're talking about in the last year or so has to do with infringing on the rights of the people of this country, taking away freedoms. But still, they run around saying, we want more freedom. No, they don't. They don't want more freedom. And part of the reason they don't want the freedom is because they see what's coming. With the young people coming up in 24 and 28, they don't have a prayer to stay alive because these people don't like Republicans. So they're trying to do anything they can to get as much power as they can before it slips away. And frankly, it is currently slipping away. Thank you, Don, for the email. Next one comes from Michelle. She says, thanks, Mike. Appreciate your insights and helping keeping us sane. Take care and keep it real, Michelle. Well, thank you. That's something I've said before. I've done the TikToks and the podcast for any number of reasons. For my own reasons, it's very cathartic for me because I'm concerned about my kids and grandkids. I felt like somebody has to speak up. But one byproduct of doing TikToks and the podcast is something I didn't expect and has been incredibly valuable to me. And as I've said before, it's when people say, well, you talked me off a ledge. I feel better when I listen to you. The fact that I can do some good for other folks out there directly is a very valuable gift to me, honestly. It's one thing to do things for yourself or even do things, hopefully, for the country or your kids. But if you can do something for others, that's the true virtue in doing what I'm doing. It wasn't my intention. I never thought about that. I was just trying to make myself feel better. Thankfully, there's a lot of people like me that have an interest in what the real story is, as opposed to the bullshit that the media will typically tell us. So, Michelle, thank you for that. I appreciate it immensely. All right, the next one says, hi, Boomer. Been a listener for about a year and a half now, and about 99% of the time am in complete concurrence, which is pretty good because I know my wife can't claim that kind of percentage. It's more like 43%. I'm not a boomer as I made my entrance at the beginning of World War II, born in 1940, which is interesting because both my folks were born in 1940. These are pre-boomers. Anyway, with all the incredible mindfuck being fed to us by mainstream media these days, finding a good source of news commentary, your podcast has truly been a godsend. First of all, with regards to Atlantic City casino fiasco, here's my input, talking about Donald Trump. Here's a little background. I worked as a casino dealer, deli craps, for about 25 years, and so when I hear folks talking about Donald's mismanagement of the casino there, I have to laugh. What people don't understand is that casinos' ATR set up to only do one thing, make money for their owners. They average per casino for a casino at about 18%, and that means whether you, the player, win or lose, the house will keep 18 cents out of every dollar that comes through the door. Taj Mahal failed not because of Trump's mismanagement, but because of his ripping off of all the assets of the casino. I knew some people who had worked in New Jersey at the Taj Mahal, and they said the whole thing was a circus. Trump and his clan stole everything that wasn't nailed down, and that's why the casino failed. I watched this go on a couple of times in Vegas. Secondly, I visited Israel in 1980, and it is a tragedy to see what's going on there now in the Gaza Strip. I hear a lot of talk about how Joe Biden is not doing anything about the horrible situation there. And I'm wondering just what kind of deal Trump sowed us into when he moved the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. When I was there, our embassy was in Tel Aviv because Jerusalem had been declared an international city because it was holy to not just the Jews, but also to the Christians and the Muslims. We value our treaties and our membership in the UN, and moving our embassy was not something we were going to do just because we wanted to. We value our treaties with the rest of the world, and I have been a shining example of this for as long as I know. Question: wonder how much money changed hands during this fiasco. Son-in-law Jared Kushner's $2 billion, perhaps. Anyway, these are just my thoughts. Oh, and by the way, as an old Vegas guy, I have to say that I truly love Old Soul. Keep up the good work, Adam. Thank you, Adam. I concur. I think we all concur about your opinion on Old Soul. It's always good to have her on the program. She'll be on this week, as she normally is. Maybe I'll try to get her on more than that. I'm going out of town a week from today. My wife and I, my brother and his wife, are going down to Florida. We're just going down to Miami and then going out to the Keys. It's something I've always wanted to see. My brother wanted to go. It was a good opportunity for us to get together. Now, how I'm going to work the podcast during those days, I'll probably bank a couple. You know, I heard from Alona. She may want to do a podcast. We'll do that. Eric or Jace or Eddie should be on this week as well. So we've got a lot of stuff coming headed into the week and into next week. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. Next one says, hi, Mike. I found you on TikTok. However, no longer on TikTok and still enjoy your podcast on YouTube. Now, TikTok's algorithm is kind of fucked up. One minute you can find me, the next minute you can't find me. I don't know what the deal is with that. I have my issues with TikTok. I'm not absolutely sold. But for those of you that watch me on TikTok and now don't seem to be able to find me, I will tell you this, the TikToks I do on TikTok also show up on YouTube as well as the podcast. TikToks also show up on Instagram and Facebook. So if you're missing them on TikTok, you can go to those other sources. All you really have to do is go to rationalboomer.com. And there are links for all the sites as to where I am. So that's easy enough. So keep that in mind as you're headed out. Anyway, this emailer goes on to say, here's a list of people to join Trump in the same cell. Alex Jones, Bill Barr, Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Kevin McCarthy, Roger Stone, Kellyanne Conway, Lindsey Graham, and the list goes on. I enjoy your positive notes that you offer. Ritz. Yeah, I think some of those folks are going to be seeing indictments at some point in the not-too-distant future, probably after the election, but they're not getting out of this clean. Make no mistake about that. All right, the next one comes from Roy. It says, hi, Mike. To the best of your knowledge, were the judgments against Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump ever paid? If not, what is the status as far as you know? Advise. Thanks, Roy. Honestly, I don't know. I hadn't considered that. The $450 million that Donald Trump owes kind of consumed my thoughts. But you're right, Eric and Donald Jr. each owe $4 million. Now, I would presume they're appealing that too. And if they're appealing that, they would have to post a bond, which would be the total amount of $4 million. And if they didn't, then, of course, Letitia James could go after their shit just as she could with Daddy. It's funny. We haven't heard anything about that. We don't know. But it's worth looking into. I will take a look and see what I can find out about that. Any of you out there, like Old Soul, who's the consummate researcher, if you find out something, please let me know, because I think that we need to find that out. We really do, because it's only $4 million, but it's Don Jr. and Eric, and they're whining like little bitches. So hopefully they took the $4 million out of their ass. I would say I think Daddy probably gave him the $4 million because it's not that much money and helped him out. But it's Donnie Trump. I can't say that he's ever helped out his kids other than give him a job only to be put in the crosshairs because they are working for Donald Trump. All right, I got another one. I don't know who this is. There was no signature on it. It says, I really enjoy what you have to say. I have something interesting for you. Do you know Trump has Chinese and Iranian trademarks? Well, I didn't know that as a fact, but it wouldn't surprise me. We know that Ivanka Trump has a number of trademarks in China. It's ironic, though. I mean, I'm sure you're right about this. I just don't know of it and what kind of trademarks he has. But here's the deal. Donald Trump continually tries to shove down the throats of his base that Joe Biden is somehow connected with China. Yet he was looking at the prospect of building buildings in China, and he obviously has a serious connection with China and Russia. But he'd rather blame Joe Biden for having connections, which he doesn't. There's been no evidence to that at all. I didn't know that, but I may look into that too, because it would be interesting to know what exactly he owns in China. We know he has a bank account there, or did have a bank account at one point. All right, next one comes from Billy. He says, Mike, I've just discovered your podcast and love it. I'm 62 and a blue dot in Trump country, Oklahoma. I'm befuddled at all the seemingly reasonable, decent folks I've known my entire life that support Trump. I enjoy listening to your podcast, and thanks, Billy. You know, I was talking to somebody about that. You know, prior to 2015, I can't honestly think of those times when I spoke to friends or relatives about politics. You know, you might say, who are you going to vote for? Something like that. But it was never as contentious as it is now. And, you know, that's the essence of who Donald Trump is. He's divisive. He's confrontational. And for whatever reason, there's a certain faction of people that have been taken in by this. I was talking to somebody today, and I said, you know, part of it, when you look at the base, these aren't the cream of the crop in this country. These are people that maybe haven't done well, and they blame the government for it. And when somebody comes out and says, I'll go kick the government's ass for you, they jump on board. They don't feel like they've ever gotten a fair shake, and maybe that's true, but they want to fight back. They don't have the wherewithal to do it, so when somebody comes out and says, I'll fight back for you, you jump on board and forgive every sin, because finally somebody's going to save you. Now, what those people should notice is that after 4 years as their president, he didn't save them. He hasn't done anything close to saving them. You know, he makes claims that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and it never happens. And now, of course, he's doing it again. Question is, will these people buy it this time? Will they believe it? Probably. Fortunately, that group of people is becoming smaller and smaller every day, and it's certainly not enough to win an election. Billy, thank you for your email. All right, next one says, Rational Boomer, I'm writing to clarify that I really do not write to annoy or challenge you or disagree with you. I was serious about really wanting to know more about David Bragg's win record. I've heard many different opinions of his abilities, and I want to understand what the truth is. I have a very good opinion of your abilities, but really need to clarify. Thank you again, Boris. Well, Boris, here's what you have to understand. You like to mix it up, but that's not a put down. I like to mix it up. So I appreciate somebody who tries to push the issue and maybe offer up some questions. I don't have a problem with it. What I was saying about what you said yesterday, and I don't even know, you might be right about that. Like I say, I was using the numbers that I heard from Glenn Kirshner only because I trust the guy. He seems to be pretty solid and all in on what he knows about the law. But the percentage of his wins, if those figures, even though they come from the New York Post, are true, then we need to look into what it is. But does it matter in this case? Probably not. Most district attorneys don't bring something to court, to trial, unless they feel pretty confident that it's going to go. I think most DAs have a pretty high percentage of win rates. Whether it's 98% or 51% or whatever the fuck it is for Alvin Bragg at this point, you have to understand the evidence so far in this case, and we've only seen a couple, three witnesses, pretty damning already. Based on the evidence that's already shown, he could probably get convicted today. If you're questioning whether Alvin Bragg is a good district attorney or not, I would question why you would say that. He's relatively new to the job. It's not like he just became a lawyer and done some things. He's been in civil court. I think he may have even worked for Letitia James at a time, and he's dealt with Donald Trump a number of times. So we have somebody that's experienced with Donald Trump, understands who he is and what he's done. He has a ton of evidence, and I feel pretty confident in Alvin Bragg. As I watch this case and I listen to what's being said and what's happening, I have no question in my mind, regardless of what his percentage is of convictions, I have no question in my mind that he will convict Donald Trump of multiple charges, not even based on Alvin Bragg, but based on the evidence that we've already seen and more to come. I don't really care what his percentage is. I know it's pretty good, maybe 98%, maybe it's 51%, but the thing is he's going to convict Donald Trump. I'll guarantee, I'd bet the house on it. Anyway, I'm not trying to give you shit, Boris, but here's what you have to understand. I'm the kind of guy that gives people a lot of shit, and I don't do it because I'm mad at them or I hate them. I do it because I like the back and forth of it all. It's come back to bite me in the ass, however, to go off subject a little bit. My granddaughter, Junie, she early on, I was giving her a hard time thinking she could grasp this. And at first, she got really upset and she thought I was serious. So I sat her down. I said, honey, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding with you. She goes, you're just kidding with me? I go, yeah, I'm not. Grandpa's never going to be mad at you no matter what you do. I'm never going to be mad at you. She goes, okay. And ever since that point, she's been giving me nothing but shit. She'll look at me and she'll say to me, like at the party, she'll say, I love you, Grandpa. I go, I love you too, Junie. And then she'll turn her head and stick her tongue out at me. She doesn't mean anything by it. She just knows her grandfather's a smart ass, so she's a smart ass now, and maybe she'll only do it to me, but I take a lot of pride in her doing that. It makes me feel good that when I'm dead and gone, there'll be a thin slice of me within that child to carry on and give people shit. All right, last email I have. I just wanted to say thank you as a fellow boomer. I look forward to your post and you bringing me joy with every single one. Please keep it coming. Now, this one wasn't signed either, but I thank you for that. I appreciate it immensely. Now, as you may know, there was the White House correspondence dinner the other night. Now, Donald Trump quit attending the White House correspondence dinner because he's got a thin skin. He couldn't take getting shit. I think he maybe even, did he even cancel it? I think he might have. Well, Joe Biden's got it going again, and it was pretty hilarious. You no doubt seeing some of the clips that are out there. Colin Jost was the MC. Joe Biden even got some shots into Donald Trump. Frankly, that dinner was a roast of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump was not there, clearly, because he can't handle it. He no doubt got all the clips and such and saw them, and I always thought it was interesting because Donald Trump would always say You hit me, I'll hit you back 10 times harder. Well, and he got hit pretty hard at this correspondence dinner. And he did hit back, but it just seemed kind of lame to me, even beneath Donald Trump. I have to wonder if Donald Trump isn't losing a step or losing some of the fire, because it didn't seem like him. That said, Donald Trump didn't waste any time giving a cutthroat review of this year's White House correspondence dinner. Now, during the event for politicians, journalists, and celebrities, Saturday Night Live star Colin Jost, who hosted the shindig on Saturday alongside President Joe Biden, took several shots at the former president, his legal drama. On Saturday night, Trump fired back at Jost and Biden's teasing in an angry post on his social media platform, Truth Social. I don't think Donald Trump really has a sense of humor. You know, at these things, everybody gets shit, even Joe Biden, and Joe Biden took it in stride. The White House correspondence dinner was really bad. This is what Donald Trump said. Colin Jost bombed, and Crooked Joe was an absolute disaster. Doesn't get much worse than this, is what Trump wrote. Well, I'll admit I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw clips and I thought Joe Biden did quite well for a guy who can't finish a sentence. And I think Colin Jost was very funny. And, you know, even if you don't like Colin Jost, he's married to Scarlett Johansson. You got to give him fucking credit for that. Now, while delivering a speech at the dinner, Biden poked fun at Trump, calling him a six-year-old. Though Jost's jokes about Biden were pretty amiable, the comedian didn't hold back on his digs aimed at Trump, who is currently embroiled in his trial. He said, "Good evening, everyone. I'm Colin Jost, and I'll be delivering the Republican response," he joked. "I'll be honest with you, I don't have a lot of time. I need to get back to New York because I'm a juror number five on a big trial." Trump's lawyer took one look at me and he's like, "He's got to be on our side." Colin Jost is kind of a preppy looking guy, and he looks like he could be a young Republican. As I say, if you get a chance, take a look at those clips because they are pretty funny. And generally, they're pretty funny. They always have a good MC. And Colin Jost did a good job. Donald Trump comes out of the woodwork and says, "They were terrible. Colin Jost bombed." That's all you got, really, Donnie? That's all you've got? Please, motherfucker, you can work harder than that. You can try harder than that. I really do think that with Donnie. I think this trial, the issues with his money, I think it's sucking the soul out of Donald Trump. I really do. And this is something I've said all along. And when I've told you that I don't know that he'll be the nominee, and people will say, "How can you say that? What's going to happen? Are the Republicans going to get rid of him?" And the thing about it is, these people are only looking at how many delegates he's got. He's the presumptive nominee. He's not going to drop out. Well, I won't say that he won't drop out, because it's going to depend on how much of a toll this whole thing takes on him. And it's already starting to show, like in this retort here for the correspondence dinner. Pretty weak for Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump wouldn't normally come back with something intellectual, but it would be loud and aggressive and confrontational. And this was just kind of a weak attempt. "Oh, they were terrible. Joe Biden wasn't good." Well, all he had to do is watch the clips, and you can see that's absolute bullshit. But then Donald Trump let it go. And that's the thing about Donald Trump. He rarely lets shit go. He is like a bone for a dog. He won't let it go for the life of him. But while he's complaining about this, he has to think in his mind, "Well, shit, I got $250 million of mine tied up that I can't touch. I got money problems. I can't campaign. I can barely pay my legal fees. And then I got to live my lavish lifestyle." The financial situation's got to be difficult for Donald Trump at this point. And then you factor in that Donald Trump has to go back into court on, I think it's Tuesday this week, not today. It's a day off. I think it's a holiday or whatever. But he'll be back in on Tuesday, and he'll have to sit there 6 to 8 hours, at least 3 days this week. And the information that's coming out and hitting him in the face isn't all that great. And it's going to be tougher to deal with. Hope Hicks possibly will testify this week. And then, you've got Cohen and you've got Stormy Daniels. All of these will prove to be embarrassing. And as I've told you about Donald Trump, the worst thing you can do to Trump or any other narcissist is embarrass them. And frankly, this is an embarrassing trial. It's about paying a porn star off to not talk about the affair he had with her. All the while, Melania Trump is watching this and is embarrassed. They used to give Hillary Clinton shit about standing by her man, Bill Clinton. And now Melania Trump is being portrayed as doing pretty much the same. It's funny, you don't hear the Republicans talking shit about that now, do you? Anyhow, that correspondence dinner was awesome. And I think Joe Biden's on the right track, whether it be with Howard Stern or the correspondence dinner or in his campaign rallies. Constantly go after Donald Trump, embarrass him every step of the way. That is a good tactic, as emailer yesterday said. Keep this going. This will deteriorate Donald Trump's confidence and affect his emotions. And then when we get to that point, that's what I'm saying, why I don't think he'll be the nominee. You get this much stuff piled on him, court cases, money being lost, campaigning not going well because he's in court. All of this takes its toll on virtually anybody. A 35-year-old healthy guy would take its toll on him. Donald Trump, 77, not in the best condition, doesn't have the best diet. So I wonder how long it's going to be before this kind of brings him crashing down, whether it be emotionally or physically. I think that's conceivable given what we're looking at. All right. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Well, we all heard the story about William Barr last week. Now, William Barr quit on Donald Trump while he was still in office, talked shit about Donald Trump quite a bit, even commented about his belief that Donald Trump is guilty, will get convicted. This is what William Barr said. But when asked whether he would support Donald Trump last week, he said, oh, yeah, I'll vote for him. I'll vote for anybody that is the Republican nominee. And this goes back to something we've talked about before. There are people out there that don't care about what's right, what's truthful, what's safe for this country. If they happen to be in their little group or club, they'll vote for him. It doesn't matter what they've done. And that's who William Barr is. We can only hope that William Barr is going to see some indictments down the road, because he's got a lot of questions he's got to answer about his behavior while Donald Trump was president and he was attorney general. But William Barr is not the only one that's a kiss ass. And the next one you probably won't be surprised by. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said he still supports Donald Trump even if he's convicted of felonies between now and the 2024 presidential election in November. And I think this is going to be costly to a lot of Republicans. They really don't know how the general public will react when Donald Trump is convicted. We know he's going to lose a fair amount of support in the Republican Party if he's convicted, and he will be convicted. Some people say as long as he's convicted by of one felony charge, it's going to be more than that. He's got 34 felony charges. He's going to be convicted of multiple charges, and they're probably going to be double digit, 10, 15, 20, maybe more than that. He's going to be convicted. And these people, like Lindsey Graham, can't read the room. And when I say that, I mean, you know, it's one thing to stand by your guy forever and ever, but there comes a point where it's just too far and it's going to start hurting you as opposed to helping you, even with your base. And I think those people that stick with him after he's convicted are going to be sorry that they did, because the reaction of this country and the vast majority of the people of this country will be pretty, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Pretty certain how they feel. and it will be cut and dried, and that will be done. Now, of course, the base won't listen to shit, but as I've told you before, the base is starting to diminish. It's getting smaller, and it was small enough in the first place where it can't win him an election. So Trump is trying to juggle his campaign, his trial in the Manhattan district. He's got a lot of shit going on. Now, while speaking with CNN's State of the Union on Sunday, Graham told host Dana Bash that Trump will absolutely still have an ally in him if he gets slammed, adding, "Most people have written this off. They're going to focus on their problems, not a bunch of cases brought up by liberals against Trump," Graham said. That's what the Republicans love to say. Oh, this is purely political. Joe Biden is trying to keep Donald Trump from getting elected president. Well, again, if we're talking about the Manhattan District, this is a state court. Joe Biden has no jurisdiction over a state court. Joe Biden has stayed out of anything with the Department of Justice on a federal level, too. It's a nice thing. It sounds good for them to say that, but it's just not true. And I think people are starting to realize this. How long can Republicans lie and bullshit and get away with it? There's an end point. There's an expiration date for that, and they are either at it now or will be soon. And I think the cherry on top will be Donald Trump getting convicted. If you still stick with him, then you're going to have some problems because you're going to go down in flames with him. And frankly, if Lindsey Graham gets his own indictment or goes down in flames with Donald Trump, because that's where he's headed, well, couldn't happen to a better guy. Not a Lindsey Graham fan. He is the consummate suck-up. Absolute consummate suck-up. Speaking of suck-ups, in this case, there's two people. There's Donald Trump. Yeah, he's sucking up because he has to. He's struggling financially. And the other suck-up is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, keep in mind, Ron DeSantis once mocked Republicans who kissed the ring to stay in Donald Trump's good graces. And he is reportedly ready to do that himself after meeting with the former president on Sunday. These guys hated each other. These guys did nothing but talk shit about one another. But somehow Donald Trump thinks that Ron DeSantis might help him fundraise, and we know he's got all kinds of financial problems. The other guy, Ron DeSantis, he's in desperate straits. He can't run for re-election for governor. He talked about running for the Senate, and he probably has little or no chance there. Ron DeSantis is flailing and trying to do everything he can to save his very political life. And it's not going well. The state of Florida is having its problems. He's the governor, and he's not getting a lot of press. You notice since he dropped out of the primaries, you haven't heard much from him. Maybe a little bit here and there. He's calmed down considerably, but he's looking at what he's got, and he's got nothing. His political future is shot because of what happened in the primaries and how he did against Nikki Haley. So he's grasping at the edge of the cliff, and he thinks, well, if I can get Donald Trump to like me again, maybe I can save some face. And Donald Trump is saying, I'll talk to anybody who will fucking get me money. And he thinks Ron DeSantis can get him money. But I will tell you this, between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, I don't know who's the biggest failure. These people have absolutely failed in everything they've done. The only reason Donald Trump might be bigger failure because he's also a criminal. Not to say that Ron DeSantis isn't a criminal, but he's not indicted as yet. But he's on the federal level. We're talking about the presidency, not the governorship of Florida. So these two clowns are apparently going to get together again. Now, the Washington Post said it was friendly, lasted several hours, and ended with DeSantis agreeing to help Trump. Well, you motherfuckers do not learn, do you? The former president's team is looking for DeSantis to get his donors to open their wallets for the Trump campaign, which has obviously been struggling to get money. Now, Florida real estate investor Steve Witkoff arranged the meeting and attended, according to the Post. NBC News said DeSantis reached out to Trump's team several weeks ago to arrange the meeting and discuss fundraising. Once close allies, the two became bitter rivals when DeSantis challenged Trump for the Republican nominee. He felt as though DeSantis wasn't being loyal, and we know how Donald Trump feels about loyalty, at least in one direction. Trump claimed DeSantis came to him crying as he begged for his endorsement for governor in 2018. After he got that endorsement, DeSantis released a weird campaign ad about how obsessed with Trump he was. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? 20 minutes later, you hate the motherfucker, and now you love him again. DeSantis, for his part, slammed Trump's demands for loyalty and those in the party who were too quick to give it. He said, "You can be the most worthless Republican in America, but if you kiss the ring, he'll say you're wonderful," DeSantis said in January ahead of the Iowa caucuses, which is true. We've talked about that. It isn't hard to manipulate Donald Trump. Just say, "I'm your boy now. I'm your best friend. I think you're great." And you'll be at the top of the list as far as his advisors. Ron DeSantis went on to say, "You can be the strongest, most dynamic, successful Republican and conservative in America. But if you don't kiss that ring, then he'll try to trash you." I think that's a reasonable statement. Now, DeSantis dropped out shortly afterward and endorsed Trump, but has done little to help the campaign. In February, he called out conservative media for its fealty to the former president with a reference to Trump's infamous claim he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and wouldn't lose any support. Well, I think he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and the conservative media wouldn't even report on it, DeSantis reportedly said with his call on his supporters. Yeah, he's going to be a big help to you, Donnie. I think they have made the decision that their business model just doesn't work if they offer any criticism of Donald Trump. The Washington Post noted that DeSantis remains widely loathed amongst those in Trump's inner circle. And the New York Times said DeSantis was not believed to be a contender for the vice presidential slot. Yeah, I doubt that. I mean, they're both coming out of Florida. That wouldn't be a reasonable person to pick for vice president, not to mention the fact both these motherfuckers are power-hungry bastards, and you can get one to work for the other to save their souls. Now, that said, apparently DeSantis could be an effective fundraiser. He and his main super PAC blew through an estimated $160 million in his doomed presidential efforts. Does that mean he can still get more money? I don't know that it does, honestly. But Donald Trump doesn't have many options. The well is drying up. He's not getting as much donations as he once did. He's got half as much as Joe Biden. Joe Biden's absolutely decimating him when it comes to fundraising. And that's what I've said before. In spite of all these polls that say it's so close, it's so even, if that were the case, why would there be a discrepancy in fundraising? Joe's fundraising twice as much, if not more, than Donald Trump. If Donald Trump had all that support, wouldn't it make sense that the fundraising would be pretty equal if it was an equal election? But it's not. And this is why I say don't listen to the polls. They're a bunch of shit. They're just there to hype you up or scare you and get you to continue to watch the various media outlets. Now, let's talk about the Manhattan District case. Stormy Daniels, the porn star, she's an upcoming witness in Donald Trump's ongoing hush money cover-up case in New York. She's one of the ones that are going to be particularly embarrassing to Donald Trump. Now, Daniels, who's alleged to have received a payment to be quiet about her purported affair with Trump in the lead-up to the 2016 election, is the center of the case involving multiple so-called catch-and-kill schemes. It's her hush money payment that was alleged to have been disguised as legal fees in order to impact the election years ago. And again, I want to remind you, everybody thinks that he's being prosecuted because he gave Stormy Daniels money to keep her mouth shut. There's really nothing illegal about that unless you do that in the furtherance of an election. And that's what happened. Again, as they say, it's the cover-up, not necessarily the crime, and he certainly did try to cover it up. He ran the money from Michael Cohen to Stormy Daniels, and then he tried to pay him back in various amounts and tried to call it legal fees. He was clearly trying to cover something up here. And the question is, why did he cover things up? Well, David Pecker pretty much pointed out that the intent was to help him in the election. Therein lies the problem. Therein lies the crime. And no matter how you look at it, it's right there sitting in front of your face. Now, Daniels has yet to give testimony in the criminal case. However, she has remained in the spotlight. Yeah, you know, you don't want to think that Stormy Daniels is this nun. She's not. She's all about making money. She's all about getting exposure. But what she's asking to get exposure about is, in fact, a crime for Donald Trump. Now, on Sunday, she talked to talk about something entirely different. She said, "Such a beautiful afternoon at the farm. Just finished reviewing some footage from the TV show I'm directing and making some notes," she said on her social media. "Now I'm watching my horses graze and packing up merch orders to ship out tomorrow morning." She wants people to believe that she's now successful and she's got so many things going. I'd like to find out what TV show she's directing. I don't know that she's ever directed anything, so who's going to give her that option? Just because she's directing a show doesn't mean it's good. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to discount Stormy Daniels, but had we known her for something else, we probably wouldn't give her as much credit as we do now. That said, what she's talking about and what she experienced is a crime, and Donald Trump needs to be held accountable for it. Now, some comments on Twitter. There's somebody called at Krith Hiddeth. Clever play on words. And this afternoon was interrupted by this, whoever it is, who laughed at the concept of Trump being held accountable in his first criminal case. This person said, and clearly he's a Trumplefuck, said, "This case is falling apart in real time and your ability to remain relevant with it," the user wrote on Sunday. Now, Daniels responded, "Are you watching the same case that just had two witnesses prove everything I've been saying is the truth?" she asked, and one of those witnesses was even his personal assistant. She then added, "Does it hurt to be in such denial of facts?" And she's absolutely right. There is nothing but denial going on with Trumplefucks. They will sit and tell us that the trial is going badly for the prosecution. It's just not the case. It's actually going very well for the prosecution and going horribly for Donald Trump. But this is what they do. Every time they say something, ultimately it's a lie. "Oh, the economy was best under Donald Trump." No, it wasn't. Not even at the best moments of Donald Trump's term was it better than a lot of times in this country. Certainly not better than Barack Obama, and nothing that Donald Trump did was better than what Joe Biden has had for the last 3 years. But they want people to believe that this court case is going badly, and fact is, it is not. It's going very well for the prosecution. And as I've said so many times before, Donald Trump will, without question, get convicted of multiple felony charges in this one case. Now, it's funny. I think I've talked about this on the podcast. I've certainly talked about it on TikTok, and I'm going to talk about it again. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a Democrat, a Kennedy, and all that stuff, and everybody wants to insist that he's going to hurt Joe Biden in the election if he is the third-party candidate. And I've said all along, I just don't see that. I don't know how that's possible. It's more likely to hurt Donald Trump and the Republicans. And here's why. RFK Jr. is an anti-vaxxer. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's a fucking nutcase. His entire family endorsed Joe Biden and said, don't vote for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He doesn't have a lot going for him. And then all of a sudden, the Republicans realize that old rational boomer might be right, because now they're scared. The Democrats aren't doing much to RFK Jr. because they know what I know. And it's just based on logic, not any brilliance. So now Donald Trump's getting nervous about RFK Jr. And on Sunday morning, Donald Trump launched another broadside at Robert F. Kennedy Jr. just days after reports showed the independent candidate could pull votes from the former president. They loved it when they thought he would pull votes from Joe Biden. And once they realized what I knew all the fucking long, they're getting nervous about it, especially Donald Trump. Now, late Friday, Trump jumped on Truth Social for a three-post attack on the long-shot presidential candidate, and Sunday morning was more of the same. Acknowledging that Kennedy was on HBO's Real Time Friday evening, Trump claimed he finally sat down to watch the interview, and after seeing it, claimed no Republican should consider voting for the Democrat. Now, you were all about people voting for RFK when you thought it might be Democrats, and now that you finally fucking realized that you were wrong, now you're shitting your pants, literally and figuratively. Donald Trump went on to say, I actually watched, first time in a long time, ratings challenged Bill Maher's really boring interview with RFK Jr. last night, only to find that Jr. is far more liberal than Maher, and in fact, far more liberal than anyone running as a Democrat, including West and Stein. Yet despite this, he has no hope as a Democrat because they were able to use their typically fascist tactics of repression and throw him out of the party like a dog because he was taking primary votes away from the worst president in the history of our country, crooked Joe Biden. You know, I don't remember it like that. I remember he wasn't getting much play when he was running in the third party or running against Biden in the primary. Wasn't even fucking close. He wasn't kicked out of the party. He bailed on the primaries because he was losing horribly. So nice try, Donnie, but you're fucking wrong again. He goes on to say, so now Junior is a so-called independent, but he's not. He's a radical left lunatic, but trying to have it always. Well, he's not radical left. He is more right than left. He's an anti-vaxxer, a conspiracy theorist. And who does that sound like? That sounds like Trump-la-fux to me. And then Donald Trump goes to shame him by saying he has said that no vaccine is safe and effective, and then said, I would never say that. I'm not anti-vaccine. He did do that. He said, I'm not anti-vaccine. You're taking what I said out of context. No, what you said is exactly that you're anti-vaccine, not just of COVID, of all of them. And this is something that's been going on for a couple of decades, you know, people claiming that it creates or caused autism or other issues when none of that has ever been proved. Donald Trump goes on to say, he said, I'm not anti-vaccine. Where did that come from? Maher defended the vaccine, which Jr. actually seemed to agree with. Wow. And then told him that his poll numbers have crashed. No Republican can vote for this guy. MAGA 2024. Yeah, you're scared to death, Donnie, because you thought he was going to help you. And because you're stupid, you went along with that. And now when you finally realize that it's not true, now you're going after RFK Jr. This is why I've said before, too, that I'm not so sure that RFK Jr. will be on the ballot come November. He's got a long way to go. He's got to raise money, and he doesn't have much support. And if you don't have much support, as I said before, you don't make money. In spite of what polls might tell you, if no one's giving you money, that is the essence of not having fucking support. All right, moving on. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson. He's tried to build some bridges between him and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene since she first raised the threat to oust him as Speaker. Think about that. Think about how low you have to be to go to Marjorie Taylor Greene and say, let's be friends. That crazy bitch needs to be kicked out of Congress and sent to jail for her crimes, because they are many. Now, on Sunday, Greene renewed her vow to take him down. Apparently, Marjorie Taylor Greene isn't buying into Mike Johnson's outreached hand. Now, after initially threatening to bounce Johnson from his gig as the leader of the House Republicans, Greene backed off and insisted that Republican lawmakers go home and listen to their constituents about it. This was also after Donald Trump publicly backed the Speaker. Marjorie Taylor Greene backed down pretty quickly. But then again, she's probably looking at it and says, well, that didn't do any good, so I'm just going to get back on the stick and start going after Johnson again. Now, Greene on Sunday shared a report suggesting that Ukrainian leader Zelensky had announced that Ukraine is working on a security agreement with the U.S. that will fix levels of support for the next 10 years. She said the $61 billion was just the beginning. The next two U.S. presidents won't be able to switch it off, the individual stated. In response, Greene claimed permanent funding for Ukraine is exactly what they want, and Mike Johnson will give it to them. Peace is not an option for them because it doesn't fit the government appropriations war business and economic model, which is vile and disgusting. Well, who gives more money to the Defense Department than anybody? That would be Republicans. So I don't know what the fuck you're saying there, Margie. She goes on to say their plan is to keep funding the proxy war with Russia and Ukraine, and when that doesn't work after all the Ukrainian men have been slaughtered, next they will put American troops on the ground. Then she went off on Johnson. She said Johnson will do whatever Biden, Schumer want in order to keep the Speaker's gavel in his hand, but has completely sold out his Republican voters who gave us the majority, she said. His days as Speaker are numbered. Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie also shared Greene's post on his own social media account. So she's fanning the flames of trying to kick Mike Johnson out of his job as Speaker of the House. And I'm all for it. Give it a shot. You've been nothing but embarrassed by all the hearings and all the attempts to take down Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and everybody else and Mayorkas. And you failed miserably every time. I don't suspect there'll be much to be gotten done over the next 6 months, whether the Republicans were going after Joe Biden or Mike Johnson. And frankly, I like this. I like seeing the Republicans fighting amongst themselves. When they do that, they have little time to fight against the Democrats. And that's just another thing that's going to make it impossible for them to win come November. And to support that, former White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain on Sunday dismissed the need for President Biden to have a big political strategy against former President Trump, arguing the former president does enough to harm himself. And ain't that the truth? He went on to say, I don't think it's a big political strategy to take down Donald Trump. I think Trump is busy taking himself down every day. Couldn't say it better. Klain said this on Sunday during an interview with MSNBC host and former White House press secretary Jen Psaki. He went on to say, and it's important, though, for the president to make the contrast between the kind of presidency he's brought and what he'll do for four more years, and what Donald Trump has done, and what Trump himself is saying he's going to do if he gets back into the White House. Now, Klain's remarks were in response to Psaki, who pointed to Biden's speech at this weekend's White House Correspondents' Dinner, where he poked fun at the former president. When asked what he thinks of Biden's strategy to needle Trump, Klain said, "I think it's the party of it. I think the president loves to campaign. He loves being out there with the people. He loves working the rope live and engaging voters. And so he gets in a good mood when he's out on the road. And so the jokes come." Now, Biden, during his speech Saturday night, levied a series of attacks against Trump, indirectly calling him a six-year-old and poking fun at the former president's numerous criminal battles. Biden and Trump have both picked up the delegates needed to win the party's nominations, setting up a repeat of the 2020 matchup. The race is looking to be a competitive rematch, they say, in terms of polls. Klain applauded Biden's campaign media strategy, including presenting the incumbent in non-traditional outlets. Psaki pointed out to Biden's interview with host Howard Stern. And I agree with that. That's something we talked about yesterday. Joe needs to reach the people who don't know anything about him, and somebody like Howard Stern can bring that kind of help. Lastly, Eric Trump, that dipshit, son of Donald Trump, is getting a blunt fact check on social media after bragging about the former president's energy levels. And he was on talking to Maria Bartiromo on Fox News, and he said, "His stamina, Maria, I've never seen anything like it in my life," he told Bartiromo on Sunday. "I've just never seen it." The elder Trump has been on trial in New York in the Stormy Daniels hush money case. And the stories are that he keeps falling asleep. But Eric is trying to tell us, oh, his stamina is up there. He's great. Now, the son of former president claimed that those snoozy courtroom appearances are proof of his stamina, adding that some days after the trial, he also does events such as an appearance at a bodega across town. Eric says, "This guy is really a remarkable human being, and I love him to death, and I'm proud of him, and I think the whole world knows his backbone and his toughness," Trump said. "Well, I question his toughness anymore. He does seem to be losing a step or two." And you see what Eric did there. He took the fact that Donald Trump is falling asleep in these court cases or in these trials, and he's saying that's proof that he's got stamina. What the fuck does that even mean? How does that prove he has stamina? It actually proves just the opposite. But this is what they do. They gaslight, they hoodwink, they lie flat out. And they'll tell you, don't believe what you see, just listen to what I'm telling you. This is something that Donald Trump has done for his entire career in business and in politics. And for years, many people have fallen for it. But I think at this stage of the game, fewer and fewer people are falling for it. He's losing support every day. Donald Trump knows that. Eric Trump knows that, but they'll keep trying to shove down our throats that everything is peachy. Well, it's not. It's going badly for Donald Trump, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get decidedly worse. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for spending the time to listen. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.